This is F1 Debrief. It's a side pod buffet. Coming up this week, we catch up on everything we've missed over the last 3 weeks, including speeding fines, ultimate pettiness, and 24-hour commentating. You know, towards the beginning of the last show, which was ages ago, I started the news and views section by saying, you know how I hate F1?
You did.
God, I did not know the half of it, did I? Things just got progressively worse.
And worse.
Yeah. We will talk about it all as we go through the show, and it's quite a bumper one, so we'd better get started.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for Renault as their appeal hearing against the suspension from the European Grand Prix takes place tomorrow. This is only good news because it means it takes place before the race itself. Whether they'll succeed or not, we have no idea.
They're going to have to succeed now.
I can't see that they wouldn't, but you just don't know, do you?
You're going to have a very upset Valencian crowd. I know, you know, sporting things have to be taken into consideration, and I'm sure nobody will lean on anybody and nobody will be paying any money, anything in Formula One. But I can't see Alonso not racing in Valencia.
It's been a bad week for Ross Brawn, who was charged for speeding and was due in court in the first few days.
161 miles an hour?
This month, no. He didn't appear and the case was adjourned until September. Apparently, Mr. Brawn was doing 100 miles per hour.
I heard it was 161 miles an hour.
Just 100, which is 30 over the speed limit. Naughty, naughty.
Does your car go 161 miles an hour?
Yeah, it really doesn't. It's been a good week for USF1 as Peter Windsor has said they are right on track to have their car built in time. So far, all the work has been done on the factory itself, and now they can turn their attention to the car, which needs to be ready for January. There are also rumours that De La Rosa or Wurz could get a drive alongside an American rookie.
They had to build the factory first.
I do like that. Let's build up our factory before we do the car. Doing things in the right order.
Goodness me. No one mentioned that before.
No. It's been a bad week for Singapore as the Bernie-backed F1 Rocks has confirmed its lineup for the same weekend and has better artists. Beyoncé, Black Eyed Peas, Simple Minds, ZZ Top, etc. Of course, you have to pay to see the likes of them, and I'm not sure how well it's going to do, especially if people are already forking out for the GP. Tickets cost about 150 Singapore dollars, which is roughly £60.
I would have expected tickets to be even cheaper. I mean, £60 isn't bad if you look at what modern artists are charging these days.
It's also a lot of artists for that money, isn't it?
That's a good deal. The expense of these concerts is getting people in and out and making sure they're safe while they're there. So if the Grand Prix is already doing that, then the ticket prices should be relatively small.
Not small enough, I say.
News and views.
At the very beginning of the summer break, BMW announced that they would be quitting F1 at the end of this year.
Ooh.
It was eerily similar to the Honda thing because rumours emerged the night before and then we all speculated about it and then we woke up in the morning and there was the press conference confirming the whole thing. BMW seemed to say all the right things, like it was a company refocusing, and although they were taking this year's poor results into account, there are many other reasons behind it. But things aren't clear at all whether they intend to sell or what they want to do.
It's not looking good. I'll tell you what I love the most is that in this day and age, in order to organise a press conference to announce that something is going to happen, you have to tell everybody the day before that it is going to happen, and then word leaks out. So therefore, you may as well know, there's no point in having a press conference anymore. You might as well say, we're going to organise one tomorrow. Everyone will speculate on what's going to happen. Then you can cancel your press conference.
Yeah, it all happens on Twitter these days anyway. So Peter Sauber seemed to be working very hard to try and scramble together some kind of rescue package. His name is in the title, obviously. But the team missed the deadline for the Concorde Agreement, which we'll be talking about that in a minute. Sauber said, negotiations with BMW have failed because the demands were simply far too high for me. Consequently, I have been unable to sign the Concorde Agreement, which guarantees payments worth millions and would have secured the future of the team. He was really, really upset about it.
As are many Formula One, I get the impression. I don't think that BMW have come across at all well in this situation. They haven't managed it as well. I mean, Honda, it was a bit of a mess with Honda, wasn't it?
But well, the thing with Honda was, we knew they were idiots for the way they did it, but they really did seem to be trying to sort it out.
Yes, whereas BMW just want shot of it. They don't want anything else to do with it. They've made up their minds and they don't care to hell with all the employees and everybody associated with the team and all the supporters. They don't give a damn. They just want shot of it and they want to go back to whatever else they've got in mind.
So the FIA opened back up the selection process for that spare entry for 2010, which means if the team do find a buyer, they're still up against everyone else for that spot on the grid anyway. So it's really back to square one for them.
It's terrible news. They've got a factory in the middle of nowhere, literally. I can't see anybody wanting to set up a Formula One factory in Hinwil. I mean, it's a nice place. They've got a nice wind tunnel. They've got a big supercomputer. They've got a place that's really built for Formula One, and they've got thousands of dedicated staff who are keen to be in that area. However,
it's not exactly motorsport central, is it?
It isn't. And it's not the heart of anywhere, which is a shame. And I think they're going to struggle. I think they're going to struggle to sell the factory. I think they're going to struggle to find employment for the people who are there.
At the time, though, we put up a poll on the site because it seemed like this news wasn't as shocking as when Honda pulled out. And I'd forgotten that we did that. But when I was putting this show together, I finally got around to closing the poll. And actually, the results were really close. We had well over 200 votes. 96 people said they found it more surprising and 92 said less. So it's almost the same both ways. 33 said they felt about the same. And 23 weren't bothered either way.
I'm surprised there weren't more people who weren't bothered, because BMW have sort of become the Toyota of 2009. And they remember last year we were talking about Toyota. Nobody really gave a damn. No one was bothered if they were in it. Nobody wanted to pick Toyota for the Bat Racer Challenge. They were the last team. And this year you kind of get the impression no one's that fussed about BMW. And they've taken over Toyota as the anonymous people at the back.
In the comments, Daniel said, can't Bernie and the FIA not just cut BMW Sauber some slack over the Concorde agreement?
It sounds to me like the teams don't want to cut them any slack either, because with this entire FOTA, we're all sticking together and banded together, and they love each other a lot at the moment, and they don't seem to be that bothered about it, and I'm sure that they would be fighting for BMW Sauber's corner, as they did with Honda. And you're not hearing, they are saying the positive things that, you know, they have to say, but they don't seem to be out and about fighting in the way you'd expect them to be. So I get the impression most people are just happy to let them hang out to dry, and that then no one's really bending over backwards to help them. I would also add that it was Bernie's remarks recently about a certain political leader and his opinions on the way he went about managing his business didn't help the situation. It may have pushed BMW closer to the door marked exit. Therefore, the last person who can save this is likely to be Bernie Eccleston. The second to last person who's likely to save anything is going to be Max, for exactly the same reasons 1 year ago.
So the BMW talk naturally leads on to the Concorde agreement. A brand new one has been signed, and I was quite surprised that it only lasts until 2012, because I thought these things went on for tens of hundreds of years. But I do think it's a good thing, because I'm not a fan of the long deals, like Hungary being on the calendar for 16 years or whatever.
Well, Bernie likes long deals, and surprisingly, he hasn't got this together to make it last longer. I'm wondering if they don't think Bernie might be going around that period, because by 2012 we will have a new FIA president, we're gonna have new teams in the sport, and things are gonna have to have time to evolve. I'm wondering if 2012 won't be the end of Eccleston, but then we've said that before, and we've hoped before, and we're still hoping.
We're always
so maybe not. I don't know. 2012 doesn't seem like a very long agreement for something so important.
So the new agreement means there is at least a future for Formula One, and the FIA, FOM and the teams are all on board. The Concorde 2009 thing is this massive deal, but what have we learned?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. What do we know? Do we know anything at all?
All that FOTA said was, we still want to do all this cost cutting to bring it back to 1990s level, which I don't think actually has anything to do with the Concorde agreement. I think they were just using it as an excuse to say it again.
Well, we don't know what's inside the Concorde agreement. It's obviously top secret, and we know that it's a very large and verbose, I guess you'd call it a booklet.
I wouldn't want to read it.
Set of regulations, no. And nobody is going to be telling you what's in there, and therefore nobody can tell you what they've agreed to. And as ever, Formula One fans are completely in the dark.
The only interesting thing is something that Joe wrote about on his blog, and we'll put a link in the show notes. He said, as part of the deal, it seems that the Formula One group is committed to paying out in the region of $250 million to the signatory teams, with the payments having to be made within 5 days of the deal being adopted by all concerned. So this is money that was due to them and wasn't paid because the Concorde agreement ran out and they hadn't got a new one. So now they do have a new one. They can have that money.
It was paid to Williams, though. We know in advance the reason that Williams couldn't sign up to, or got kicked out of FOTA, was because they got an advance payment from Bernie, and that advance payment presumably is what the rest of the teams are now getting now that they've signed up to the 2010 season. So it's payday for a lot of teams except for Williams, who have already got that money earlier this year and probably already spent it.
Does that mean Williams will be allowed back into FOTA now then?
Well, that's a good question, and we just threw it to the comments because I'm not too sure about that. Bassano had a good point. He said that now that all the teams have signed, there is less power, and Williams
FOTA
may not
have less power.
Yeah, Williams may not want back in because, you know, they've signed the deal with Bernie and they're getting paid and they're happy. It depends, really. I don't know whether, like I said in the comments a couple of days ago, what have FOTA ever done for us? And loads of people come back and say, well, actually, they dispelled the ability for Max to do anything in Formula One, and they've signed this agreement which will limit his powers, and they're pretty good. I have suspicions that they haven't actually achieved anything for the fans. They've looked after themselves, and they've achieved what they wanted internally, but I'm not entirely sure whether they've really made Formula One better for us, and I suspect that Williams probably won't want back in for that reason alone.
Now we have to talk about the man in the red car.
Go on then.
And by that I mean Massa.
Ah!
Which is always good.
The man who's not in the red car then.
Well, that's true. He is doing really well. He's
amazing
back,
recovery.
He's back in Brazil recovering, and I think Barrichello went to see him recently and posted a twit pic of the pair of them, and Massa looks much better, all smiley, and Ruben said he was just like his old self.
Yes.
Which is exactly what we want to hear.
It is. He also said that he's not allowed to train at the moment, which is a shame because he's not allowed to get better quicker.
Mm.
As soon as they let him train and let him exercise, then I'm sure his recovery will increase and improve. And he'll be back in the car as soon as it's humanly possible.
For a while, it looked like Michael Schumacher was going to be filling in for him.
Mm.
And this has been quite a massive subject for us on Side Podcast. But
a little bit of controversy.
Yeah, but actually, now that it comes down to it, there's not that much to say.
What a waste of time.
he did a couple of tests in the F2007. But is still suffering from a neck injury from a bike accident in February and decided that it wasn't going to be possible for him to fill in after getting everybody except us its hopes up.
Ha!
Lots and lots of fans very upset.
Yes, I'll tell you something. There's no question in my mind that I am in a minority here, because when it was announced the guy was coming back, Twitter exploded with excited and happy people, and the news agencies went crazy, and German TV basically ran round the clock Schumacher news. And it all kicked off like it was 2006 all over again. And then when the announcement came that he wasn't racing...
did it all again, but in reverse.
Exactly the same thing happened, but everybody was upset. It was a massive hullabaloo for over absolutely nothing in the end. And it's a shame. I mean, clearly the guy wanted to race. Clearly we didn't want him to. And I did say that I wouldn't be watching the Grand Prix if he did, but thankfully he's not, and I still can watch. So I'm happy.
You're happy you get to watch Valencia? Woohoo. It would have been a good excuse not to.
Well, it was a good excuse not to, but then I'd also miss Spa.
That's
so
true.
You know, you can't have it always. I am the only person who's absolutely elated by this news, and I'm the only person who's going to be happy to see Badoa driving.
Well, there were a few commenters that agreed with us, but it definitely caused controversy. Either way, Badoa hasn't caused as much controversy, but still, people are curious why Ferrari are putting him in the car and not Genet, because obviously Genet actually has recent racing experience and he's won Le Mans. And
yes.
Is actually probably a lot better.
Much, much comment and debate and discussion over this one. And as yet, I mean, I think there was a post. There's been a couple of posts from various people who know what's going on. And nobody has nailed down exactly what the reason is that Badoa is in the car. I have one theory.
Well, all we really know is that Badoa has been testing for them for a decade. So it seems like, you know, they think he deserves a chance.
That sounds just like Ferrari, doesn't
it?
Yeah. If they thought
magnanimous to the last.
No, because if they could have put Badoa, if they wanted to put Badoa in the car, they would have done that when Michael Schumacher broke his legs, however long ago it was at Silverstone. They did. They chose not to. They chose to put Mika Salo in the car. I don't think they have. I don't think it's down to guilt at all. The only theory that I can come up with that even remotely makes sense is that they suspect Badoa won't do very well, and they think Genet might do a little bit better. However, if Genet got in the car in Valencia and did a bad job, they'd have all they'd have left would be Badoa, right? So you put Genet in the car, he comes in 15th, everybody says, well, he's no good, bring in your other test driver, and then Badoa comes in the car and he'll probably do worse at Spa. So at least by putting the guy in, if he comes in last, then they've got the option of putting Genet in. And they may even try to alternate them, but I suspect probably they're just trying to get Badoa out of the way and say, right, he's driving the car, he didn't do very well, now Genet's in and he'll do the rest of the season. And even if he does badly, he won't do as bad as Badoa did in Valencia.
Well, that does sound very likely, but it's always difficult to tell what Ferrari are thinking.
What we do know is that Badoa isn't a popular choice, and there's a lot of people who bought a lot of tickets for the Valencian Grand Prix, which isn't likely to be spectacular, and for the Grand Prix in Spa. And they're not going to see the person driving who they bought the ticket to see.
They didn't
drive.
Buy those tickets to see Badoa, did they? So one of the conversations that's been going on in the comments
There's been a lot of conversations in the comments.
Whether or not fans who booked up to see Schumacher specifically should get refunds or
no,
not.
No. Because
you buy tickets to see the Grand Prix, not to see the driver.
You absolutely do not have the right to buy a ticket to see a Grand Prix driver. And there was an element of risk right from the beginning. There was various people who pointed out that Michael Schumacher may not be able to drive the car because he sustained a neck injury. And I think it was Andy Taylor who picked that up originally. When I first had a bit of a sulk about Michael Schumacher coming back in, I think it was Andy who said that, look, he had a really, really bad accident, and he there's a very little chance he's actually going to come back to this Grand Prix. The information was out there. People had the option of not buying the tickets. You take a risk when you buy this stuff, and there's always eBay.
So the other thing is that Badoa is allowed to drive the F60 with promotional tyres on. We've just discovered this. Breaking news.
Mm.
Why didn't they think of that with Mr. Schumacher?
Oh, they did. They absolutely. This was plan B. The first plan, obviously, there was a little bit of controversy over the decision to try and run Michael Schumacher in a modern Formula 1 car, which is against the rules. And I'm sure this was their backup plan. And just because Michael isn't driving, they're still going to execute that plan because there is a loophole, and they've found a way of getting the guy in the car.
So would they have done the same, caused the same controversy if Schumacher had never attempted to drive the car?
They wouldn't have probably gone to FOTA and asked for special dispensation for Badoa, but I figure they must have known that this loophole was available to them. I can't imagine they've only just sat down and looked at the rules and thought, actually, we could have done this. They could have been scratching their heads for the last 2 weeks wondering what on earth they could do to get the driver more experience. And I'm sure that Toro Rosso are kicking themselves now because this is obviously an option that's available. And they didn't do the same for Alguersuari. And they sent him out in a car without any experience at all. And Ferrari aren't prepared to do that with Badoa.
We have said over the last couple of years how disappointing it is that there's been no driver changes throughout the seasons. I think the last 2 years there have been none, haven't there?
There wasn't any last year. There was the year before, but it doesn't bother me, but it certainly upsets you. I remember you complaining about it last year. You thought that there should be more, and we were trying to encourage it at one point.
Yeah, well, I like it, but this year is certainly making up for it, because Bourdais was out and not Seb came in, Massa's injured, and now Badoa is in, and Piquet has been released from his contract. We're not sure who's going to replace him, but chances are it will be Grosjean. The news actually broke when Piquet posted a scathing attack on the team, and particularly Flav, on his website. There hasn't been any official word from the team, I think, as yet. But Piquet has been very, very, very angry about being told he won't race for them anymore.
Yes. As somebody pointed out, I can't remember who it was, so I can't give them any credit, but it's very easy to be angry when you haven't got a drive. It's fine to stick the boot in when you've just been kicked out. And I do heart Piquet for having to go at Flav because, you know, if anyone deserves a good kick in, it's Flav. But I just think I wish he could have done it whilst he was driving, whilst, you know, someone put the microphone in front of his mouth and maybe he, you know, had a go at the team like Rubens did, just, you know, not too many races ago. And I just think it's a bit too easy for Piquet to write this on his website after the fact when his drive's gone and there's no more chance of him doing anything else. Don't think it's going to do him very much good for the future and future prospects, because obviously you don't really want a guy who's going to stab you in the back the second he's out of your team.
Well, no, because he didn't hold anything back on his site. He put, as a beginner in F1, I could only expect from my team a lot of support and preparation to help me in getting up to the task. Instead, I was relegated as someone who drives the other car with no attention at all. In addition, on numerous occasions, 15 minutes before qualifying and races, my manager and team boss Briatore would threaten me, telling me if I didn't get a good result, he had another driver ready to put in my place. I have never needed threats before to get results.
You got results before?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. To be honest with you, what did he expect?
Well, yeah, this is Flav.
We know this. Everybody else knows this. How come Piquet never discovered, never thought for 1 second it was going to happen? I mean, Alonso is in the other car.
Yeah.
What does he expect to be other than the other driver? Give me strength. So, you know, fair
perhaps
enough.
He thought he was going to be the next Lewis.
I don't be for able one to take second it to him. Think he was going to do that.
But later on, in another interview, he was really like mean about Flav and said he might be a good businessman, but he knows nothing about Formula One. And he said the only good thing the team takes out of him is his good relationship with Bernie and the FIA. Other than that, he doesn't know what's going on. It's like it's like listening to something my sister would say about the car. Pat Simmons is the guy who really understands what's going on with the team. Right. I mean, I don't feel sorry for Flav because, you know, of all the people, this is great that it's happened to him, but it really isn't professional from Piquet.
It isn't. And I mean, I know, yes, Pat knows what's going on with the car. However, I'm pretty sure if it was as bad as that, he would have jumped ship a long time ago. And he's happy to stick around and work for Briatore. So I don't think it would be as bad as all that.
Yeah, and Piquet has been there for many, many months now, so he must have known what it was like. And if it was really that bad and he was being bullied that much, you'd think that maybe he would have left sooner.
Yes. And of course, he didn't have to put up with what he, you know, if it was as bad as he claims it was, then why stick around? Why not leave for another team and go drive for somebody else? If you're that good and you think that, you know, you don't need this kind of incentive to get on, then go for it. I mean, we did hear, there was a while ago, we talked about on the podcast, some journalists pointed out that every time Piquet got in the car, Flavio would basically march Grosjean up to him and make sure that Grosjean was just standing over him at all times. So we know that a lot of this is going on, but then we expected it.
There must be something in the water, though, because Ferrari were really petty and childish when they weren't allowed to get Schumi in this year's car as well, as we alluded to earlier. They said, guess who opposed the test with the F60, a team that hasn't won anything for years and yet didn't pass over the opportunity to demonstrate once more a lack of spirit of fair play. Just for the record, the Scuderia Ferrari had given its approval to let Aljazzari test, but it seems even in this instance, someone decided to stick to the precise wording of the regulations.
Right, because that's a bad thing.
Absolutely. How dare they?
Stick to the precise wording of the regulations. Shock horror. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that Ferrari can come out and attack somebody.
Other teams for fair play.
A lack of spirit of fair play. Ferrari are the embodiment of a lack of spirit of fair play for the last 20 years. Who in the world?
It's such a bizarre thing as well, because that was posted on their website as a news item, just those two paragraphs, and that was it.
Yes.
It's such a bizarre thing.
Somebody got out of bed the wrong side and forgot their history, I think. Williams... by far a team I have absolute respect for, and I'm glad that they vetoed it.
William said, we're not going to rise to that. We have nothing. We're not going to dignify that with an answer.
No. Well, I mean, Williams are still slightly peed off by a certain Michael Schumacher smashing into, deliberately, a certain Jacques Villeneuve. And when we went there, they did still showed us the car park where it was smashed. So they still hold a grudge against Michael Schumacher. So they were never, ever going to allow it. I don't know why Ferrari was surprised that they vetoed it.
Now it's time for circuit news. Do we have a jingle for that yet?
We don't have a jingle. Would you like one?
I think so.
Maybe for next time.
Circuit news. Silverstone said it's a critical couple of weeks for the British GP.
Isn't
because
it always?
They are going to start their renovation work soon. And if they're going to host the race, because Donington isn't ready, then they need to know in advance, i.e. now. Damon Hill said he's keeping a beady eye on developments at Donington, but there's no word on if they can handle it or not. And Richard Phillips, who is the managing director of Silverstone, he said he'd actually contacted Donington to see if they can be the backup, but he hasn't had a reply. He said, to be honest, what I thought would probably happen is they would put their hands up and say they cannot organise it in 2010, but try to work with Bernie to get an extension. That's pretty much what we all thought.
Well, yeah, this man is crazy, though. He can't come out and say that.
He did.
Well, they weren't ever going to do that, though. Bless him for trying.
That's what we all thought, though.
So it's critical because they've got some races, and then they're going to take the circuit a bit.
Yeah.
And then they want to know if they have to put it back together.
Well, I guess the point is, if they're going to be hosting the British GP, they need to know so that they're done in time. I guess that's what they mean.
Right. Okay. It sounds to me like it's not a critical 2 weeks at all, and probably they've got another 6 to 8 weeks.
I quite like them putting pressure on Donington, though.
Fair enough. And Donington, obviously... aren't that bothered, or they would have responded, or they would have said, well, maybe they've given up trying to defend themselves.
All we've heard from them is they've put Jane McGiven in charge of the development, which seems like an odd move, because on the one hand, she was involved, or was part of the company that were involved with Wembley Stadium and the Millennium Dome,
they
which
well.
Are both projects that came in on time and under budget.
I remember those, for those facts alone.
Mm-hmm. But Donington's argument will probably be that she took those projects when they were failing and made them work. So okay. She got them ready after everyone else had already ruined it.
Well, that'd be perfect for a failing Donington then. Let's see what she can do with it.
So I guess we'll just have to keep on waiting to see what happens.
We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to fail. We've said that since the beginning.
Also in circuit news, there's lots of noises coming from Canada to say the race might be back on. There's nothing.
This is actual good news in Formula One. We need this.
Nothing official yet, but it looks like they might be on for a massive discount from Bernie, bigger even than when they asked for a discount the first time around and Bernie said no.
What a bargain.
So we might get Canada back, and we're not sure about the US, but good things are happening.
They go well together, and it makes no sense to travel all the way across the Atlantic for one race when you could squeeze in two and split the costs. So you've got to bank on there being something happening in the US as well. Whatever happens, I still want Canada to be confirmed, because
Canada is awesome.
Yes, we're just hanging on in there. It's still not official yet, but fingers crossed it will be soon. Let's hope they get it at an absolutely discounted rate, and let's hope all the other circuits then petition Bernie for a similar discounted rate.
Finally, it's worth catching up with what the FIA are doing, Ari versus Jean.
Right.
It's kind of swinging the wrong way for us.
Not as exciting or as dramatic from Ari's camp as I was hoping.
No. Jean Todt put out a nice PDF brochure laying out his campaign and
wasn't it
plans.
Lovely?
It's all a bit too nice, too good to be true.
Somebody invested in some stock photography there.
Yeah, very pretty pictures. They've actually used the same one twice, but don't tell anyone.
Not invested that much then.
It's all very sensible and really quite annoying. And it doesn't look like a man who's ready to lose, that's the thing.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Ari announced his cabinet and I've never heard of any of them. So, yeah.
Okie dokie. No, I haven't. The name's actually, I may have known that there was a guy from the ADAC, I think vaguely rings a bell. It doesn't sound like, well, it depends. There's two ways of looking at this. You could say, well, it's not a very strong cabinet because we don't know that too much about them. However, they are new people, and we've been saying for ages Formula One needs a fresh injection of new blood without any hangers-on from the current regime. And what we want is fresh and original and new ideas, and therefore in that respect Ari's doing a great job.
Well, yes,
it doesn't feel like there's a huge wave of support behind the guy right now.
No, it's what we want, but then it's often the way that the teams or cabinets or whatever with people that you know in tend to get more attention.
Yes.
And that means the momentum is with Jean Todt, and that is bad news. It is interesting that Jean Todt had to come out recently and say, listen, people, I will not favour any one team over another one team. I am completely unbiased.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of course. Here's the problem.
Ari wouldn't have to come out and say that.
No, he wouldn't.
That's all I'm saying.
Because there wouldn't be any suspicion on that front. The issue you have, of course, is that Todd could say, well, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and this is going to be fine and dandy, and everything's going to be wonderful. And then, it probably will be for about 6 months or 12 months, and then he'll start creeping in his changes. And obviously he can be in power for a very long time, and nobody will be able to get him out once he's in, due to the fact the rules and regulations have been changed to make sure that once whoever's in gets to stay in, and therefore we'll be stuck with him. And I'm sure at first everything he says will please everybody, but how long that will last remains to be seen.
We had a great guest post from John Waldock a week or so ago, because he was going to commentate during the Classic 2CV Racing Club's 24-hour race. Now, I don't know if John's done any commentating before, but that is quite a way to get into it.
That's
24
a hell
hours.
Of an introduction.
Yeah. Here's a quick snippet of the post. He said, working with BTCC circuit commentator Alan Hyde, Matt James, who is the racing director of Motorsport News, and Lewis Beals, local motoring journalist, as well as Ainsley Boosfield, who is a stalwart of the Classic 2CV Racing Club, I've had to do a lot of prep so that I can hit the ground running when I get there on Friday. I mean, he's working with some top people there as well.
That's incredible. Great. And they gave him when we listened on the radio, they gave him a brilliant introduction. And the team seemed to get on really well, I thought.
Yeah, we followed some of it, and we're also hoping for another guest post to find out how he got on. What we heard was really good, and he left us some voicemails during the 24 hours.
Hello, it's my podcast. It is John Warlock here. I am at Snedston Race Circuit, and it is Friday the 7th of August. I have just watched the third session of the 2CV practice, which is today, and then we will have the fourth session around 4 o'clock. And nighttime qualifying starts at 8:30 for an hour, and then 10 o'clock for an hour, which should be an interesting thing to watch. You're listening to the caterums going around at the moment, and all my research is now completed. So just having to wait till all the equipment for the commentating and the webcast arrive, which will be either tonight or sometime tomorrow, which is when I will phone next. Hope you're good. Bye.
So that was the first voicemail we got, and I like it. He's nice and perky and bright and ready to get going, because it's before they actually got started. Then we had another voicemail, which was about halfway through, I think.
Hello, it's my podcast. It is John Waldock again. I have finished my first stint, which was just over 40 minutes ago. It was the 7th till 11 since. It's been amazing so far. Really, like, everyone has clubbed together and been welcome to me. And a little brief story. There's a group of guys from a college in London who turned up yesterday, on Friday, with a rope going to TV with a roll cage in it. Basically, the whole pit lane had come together to get this car made, and it missed the whole of testing on Friday. It missed qualifying on Saturday, on Friday evening even, and it even missed the warm-up on Saturday morning. And I've just been speaking to the guy, and he said that he did 3 laps behind the safety car this afternoon, and then he's just done a 2 hour stint in the dark at a racetrack he's never been at, and he passed his racing driver's test last week. I mean, that's just kind of one of many, many stories I've kind of had already over the past 4 hours. The lead is changing constantly, and it's just brilliant. My next stint starts in 2 hours and 3 hours and 20 minutes. Yeah, 3 hours and 20 minutes. No, 2 hours and 20 minutes, I like. So, so yeah, I'm going to get some sleep. But I shall speak to you tomorrow, and hopefully we shall have a result. Later.
Things I love about that. Firstly, you could hear the tent zipping up as he got inside, ready
literally
for his nap.
Called us before he went to sleep.
Yeah. And secondly, he is so tired he doesn't know what time it is or how long he's actually going to be able to sleep for.
Love that story, though.
Bless him.
Love the idea of just passing your test and then taking part in a 24-hour race.
Yeah. I mean, how crazy.
I'm amazed you need an actual license. Was that just a coincidence, or did he actually have to pass his test to take part?
This is a good question. John didn't answer that, but I'm sure he will do.
He's not in the comments at the moment.
No.
Probably sleeping.
So after he'd finished his 24 hours, he slept for 12 hours, and then he slept for 11 hours the next day. I think he was like a sleeping monster for a while. Anyway, this last voicemail he left us, you can tell how tired he is, because progressively through these three voicemails, his voice is getting lower and slower and deeper. It's really quite a journey.
He's also commentating between these calls.
Yes.
So it's nice of him to make the effort to talk more. You'd think after all that speaking, you'd just be sick to death of opening your mouth. So, okay, let's hear it.
Hello, Cybercast. It appears I spoke a bit too soon with my last voicemail. The fog came in at 3, and as Anne just listed, it's now 9 o'clock, or just gone 9, and so the racing is now back underway. We did a mammoth 4 hours of filling with music and random things. If you were listening, then I do apologise. It was very interesting radio, to say the least. Thank you all for your texts and emails, and sorry, couldn't read them out, but I did read them. And I'm back on at 11 until 3, and then the Matt James and Alan Hyde can do the last couple of hours. Hope you're all well and doing all right. I shall speak to you soon. Bye.
Are you well?
I am well.
You're doing all right?
Yes, I am doing all right.
Very sweet to think of us. Poor guy's exhausted.
I know. So yeah, he slept for ages. And then once he was recovered, he told us that he had a brilliant time and he's got months worth of writing to do for his own blog and hopefully, like I said, a guest post for us. So we'll keep you posted.
Good stuff. I've never heard of 2CV racing before John agreed to do this, before he signed up for it. But it sounds fantastic.
Well, it was on the interwebs, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had live streaming from two cameras. They had
live radio
and live timing. And it, to a point, it actually put Formula 1 to shame.
Yeah.
Considering it's a bunch of 2CVs that race. Well, they race more than once a year, but they only do the 24-hour race once a year. But it was fantastic. We watched, I think, the first from 5 p.m., 6 p.m. till 11 p.m. We listened to that entire first stint, and it was excellent. We didn't catch the whole fog coming down thing, so sadly missed the four-hour fill.
Now, apparently, Bob the Builder got played.
Horrific.
Yeah,
that's
so I'm quite glad we missed that, really.
Probably worth skipping that bit. But our eyes were opened, thanks to John, and hopefully he'll do it again next year.
Now on to the emails. This is the first one. Hi, Christine and me. Well, really you. Greetings and salutations all the way from Somerset, Kentucky, USA, that is. I just recently purchased an Apple iPhone, and one of the best features is listening to podcasts. I drive over 50,000 miles a year in my business, and that gives me a lot of time to listen to podcasts. My favourite of them all is SciPodcast. Thank you. I love the witty banter, dry Brit humour, and the timely information from the F1 circus. Even for a circus, F1 has too many clowns. My son and I have been to every USGP from 2001 to 2007 and the Canadian GP in 2003. Regardless of what insane, crazy hour that F1 is on, you can bet we are watching practice, quali and the race live on Speed TV. Here is one final odd fact about me and F1. I was the plaintiff's expert in the lawsuit they filed against all the various defendants of the FIA fiasco in the form of the 2005 USGP. Obviously, we didn't prevail, but I learned a lot about the inner workings of F1. It wasn't pretty either. That's from AC Donahue Esquire.
I bet. I'll tell you something. I'd like to know more about that. That sounds very interesting. I'd like to know what the process was involved in and what was looked into.
I think that's the first time we've had an email from an Esquire as well. It's nice. Very exciting. Next up, Benji sends us a really nice story. Dear Christine and Mr. C, I began to subscribe to your podcast at the beginning of this year, and I just wanted to say how fantastic they and the SciPodcast community is for people like me whose family and friends have no interest in Formula One or motorsport altogether. I especially enjoy the SciPod panels, so much so that during one particularly hot sunbathing session on the beach of Cala Milla, Mallorca, I listened to each episode back to back. During my holiday, I netted a new subscriber whilst listening to the shows while sat on my balcony. A man from the neighbouring balcony and he introduced himself as an F1 fan.
Yes.
And so I told him about SciPodcast, and between balconies we listened to some of the podcasts with a cup of tea. Armed with my new F1 pal, we put the F1 world to rights each night on the balcony and had our own German GP debrief.
I heart that.
I hope to contribute to the live comments more frequently. Keep up the brilliant work, and all the best to you and Mr. C, Benji.
Thank you, Benji.
That's a great story.
That's brilliant. Benji, for some reason Benji sticks in my mind.
He's been in the comments
before. Yes, must have done. So thank you, Benji. That's a brilliant story.
Next up, Sebastian sent this. Dear Christine, this is just a small idea, but I know you encourage feedback towards the site redesign. Sometimes with longer blogs, I find myself beginning to read them and then scrolling down to see who wrote it and then back up again to finish reading it. My suggestion is that the date, time and author information should perhaps be just below or above the title of the blog post instead.
Good advice. Working on it. More on that in a bit.
Okay. I notice Katarina came first, fourth and 11th in the top 25 teams for Hungary, with her second team, my FR team, moving to 16th in the SciPodcast League. Obviously, Kathy is running away with victory, but I have a feeling she may also be on course to finish second as well.
No way.
With a team for which she did not even pick any drivers until after Australia. Kathy has another team at 86th, which is climbing. My team, Heart Racing, is at 61st, having had a couple of better races, despite forgetting to replace Bourdais after sacking him before Toro Rosso did. Fortunately, I am putting some daylight between myself and SciPodcast racers. Grr. But it will be difficult to avoid being beaten by at least three of Kathy's teams. Yours, Sebastian.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know what to say to that. Firstly, that's shocking. I hadn't noticed that. That's gonna be awful.
No, that's awesome.
Is it awesome?
Yeah.
Sorry.
How great is Kathy that she's gonna finish first and second? 1-2 for Kathy.
It just makes us all look bad.
We are bad.
It just makes us look like half-assed and not bothered.
Mm.
And that's terrible.
Well, the other thing that brings up is earlier we were saying how great it is that there are all these changes.
Driver changes
and things. Mm. Not so much for poor Danny that runs fantasy races, because he has to keep fiddling with the with the drivers, especially Schumacher, who came and went.
Well, that was probably a bit of a waste of time, actually, wasn't it? He's introduced new rules this year, and to make matters complicated, the drivers are all switching and changing, which they didn't do last year. And so, yeah, poor. My heart does go out to Danny. However, I'm just stunned by Kathy's performance, and I don't know what to do to respond. What we should do is all get together and really work really hard to give Kathy some competition. But I just don't think there's any hope. I've even tried taking her advice on board and chopping and changing and drivers and stuff. Still nothing.
Okay, my next email. Hi, Christine. After checking in today with SciPodcast.com, I read Lukey's blog about the favourite liveries, and I began to think, I bet I could do this, so I signed up. The main reason is that when I am on the live doohickey from time to time, the 2005 USGP comes up. The 2005 USGP was my first F1 race, and it could have been a crushing blow, but I did not lose faith, and I'm still a huge F1 fan. So I decided to document the weekend, the highs and the lows and the mundane. It might be a rambling blog entry, but it'll be there for all to read. If you have any suggestions about blog entries or anything else, I'm eager to hear. I've decided to split the days into separate entries. The blog is at blogspot.com and is titled Joe in FLA's Life. You might have to bear with me on this as I'm having trouble finding it again.
He lost his blog.
Give it a try, Joe in Florida.
He started a blog and lost it?
Yeah. So I mean, there was no link in this email, so I went and found it. It's joeinfla.blogspot.com. And it's only got the one entry at the moment. I assume that he's going to write some more because that's what it seems like.
Right.
But I do like someone that sets up a blog and then loses it. That's awesome.
I like that you found it again.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I have to track down people's blogs.
I shall check it out and I shall subscribe to that later today.
And my final email is from Paul. He says, Hi, Side Podcast. I wanted to send a quick report in to you with my experiences with the Shell V-Power Challenge, if that is the correct name. It is. A couple of weeks ago, I needed to tow my race car from Canberra to Sydney, a distance of about 260 kilometres, for a bit of fooling around on the racetrack, so I thought it would be a chance to see if V-Power made any difference in my tow car, a Subaru Forester. Unlike your cars, this is running petrol. I think I did all the right things. I ran a tank of V-Power through in the week before the trip and filled up again just before we left. On the trip up, I wasn't that impressed, although I was able to stay in fifth most of the time, just changing down a few times for steep hills or to avoid being run over the top of by truck drivers. I went through about three quarters of a tank for the trip. It wasn't until the drive home that I realised the difference. I decided I may as well try regular Shell unleaded. Wow, what a difference. I spent the whole trip going up and down the gears. The car just wouldn't cruise along at a constant speed like on the trip up, making a wet drive just that little bit more stressful. I think I used almost a full tank.
Wow.
How much this has to do with V-Power and how much just the increased octane, I'm not sure. The race car ran great on the Mobil 1 high-octane jungle juice. I probably need to do another test with some other brand next time. I hope this is of some interest. Keep up the great work, guys. Paul. Recently, we put an update to the SidePod Science V-Power Shell Challenge.
Yes.
I can't even get the name right. We put that on the blog, and basically we've done the experiment now, haven't we?
Well, you did try yesterday some BP unleaded. No, BP Ultimate, sorry.
BP Ultimate.
Don't put unleaded in your diesel.
No. That would be bad. I did try some BP Ultimate just to finish off the experiment, and I found that it worked straight away, which the V-Power didn't. It took a few minutes to kick in.
Mm.
But the BP worked straight away, but I didn't notice that much difference between the two superior fuels.
No.
Obviously, there was a big difference between that and the supermarket fuel.
Yes, which is it must be diluted down or something because it's rubbish. So, given that your experiment is essentially coming to close, I think we're going to put some more questions to Dave to finally close off, because I've still got some more pending technical questions which I can answer. And I think there's been some questions for the commenters, which there's a thread for questions. If you've got any more questions you want to put to Shell, then please do that. But what will you now always use some form of high octane fuel for your car?
Yes, I always want to use V-Power, but it's much harder to get.
It's troublesome.
It's tricky to get it. So, but I will always use a better fuel.
Well, that was a worthwhile experiment.
Yeah,
wasn't it? I think that was. I would call that a success. I would say that to be perfectly honest, I think I would probably go for BP over Shell, because in my car it does just make the difference.
Yeah, you said that you think perhaps it's suited to our cars better.
Yeah,
and V-Power is set up for Ferraris, and clearly we don't drive a Ferrari.
I think the BP is probably set up slightly for my driving style too, because the V-Power, it is smoother, but I want more aggressive power in the middle range, and that was what I was looking for, and that's what BP gives a better. It seems to offer more than the V-Power does in that range. So I'll probably stick to the BP Ultimate, and you'll stick to V-Power if you can get hold
of it. If I can get it. In the comments, Jordan said, how much are Shell paying you? Well, I can tell you they're not paying us anything, but they did let me meet Rob, so that
yes.
I will talk about them forever.
I don't think Shell would pay me much to say that BP Ultimate is better.
No.
They'd be pretty stupid to do that, and BP Ultimate aren't paying me anything either, which is possibly where I've gone wrong. But no.
They couldn't get you in to meet Rob.
No, they could probably get me into something like rallying. What do they do?
Lovely.
Yeah, some other race series that's not Formula One. They're not involved in Formula One particularly.
Now, I said that was my last email, but actually we had a lot of emails, messages, comments, Facebook messages, tweets, all kinds of things that basically said, we know you hate Schumacher, but please don't quit.
No, well, he made it very easy for us. I was going to execute a plan. Do you know what? He's ruined it again. Even by not racing in Formula One, he's
there
annoyed
you
me
go.
Now. I was going to try a plan because I absolutely had no intention of watching that man in a race competitive situation. Because don't get me wrong, I don't think he's... Well, I do... Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, what I'm saying is inside a car...
Let's not go there, please.
Let's not start that. Inside a car with the visor down, he's not a very nice person, and I don't wish to see him inside a car with the visor down. Therefore, I would not have watched Valencia, any of the sessions, nor would I have watched Spa or for the rest of the season, however long he planned to be in the car. What I did plan to do was I was going to conduct an experiment to see which website provided me with the best coverage if I hadn't watched any of the sessions. Obviously, we always watch all sessions, and therefore we always know what's going on.
Well, the answer is F1 Digest, obviously.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to compare.
No, that's true.
I was going to compare. 1 week for Valencia, I would only follow F1 Digest, and then for Spa, I might choose GP+. And then for what's the next one? Monza, I might choose Autosport. And I would basically, at the end of it, I would say, this is what I learned. Can you tell me if I missed anything? This is what the people told me. This is what I discovered. What did I get wrong? What did I misunderstand? And which service provided... And I can't do that now because the guy quit again. So that's slightly gone out the window. So that plan hasn't happened. However, he's made everything very easy. And basically the entire hiatus thing is a bit of a waste of time because he's not going to be there. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a waste of time because it wasn't just about him. I mean, people were like, I can't believe this one man would make you quit and ruin everything. But it wasn't just about him. It was just that, my God, if anything else could have gone wrong that day, I'm not sure Sidepodcast would have survived.
BMW quit and we were having quite a lot on the go from Sidepod Radio. So there was a lot going. What I would say is that maybe it wasn't clear from the beginning because we didn't want to, when we started Sidepodcast, we didn't want to come out and be controversial. We didn't want to just like start arguments for the sake of page hits and get people here and get people riled up. And we wanted to be kind of like very relaxed and we wanted to make Formula One fun again.
Yeah.
Because before 2007, basically the 2006 season and those previous, it wasn't fun. It was actually quite miserable because certain drivers made us quite miserable and we wanted to take it back. And I would say, you know the t-shirt we made that's on Cafe Press, which says Michael Who?
Michael Who?
I kind of wanted, without being controversial right at the beginning, to say Side Podcast, and the subtitle would be Michael Who, because then he was gone and we were just taking, you know, Lewis came into Formula One, things got exciting again, things were more interesting, Ferrari became nice again, and we wanted to take Formula One back. And therefore, we haven't talked about Michael Schumacher that much, because that was the old Formula One that we didn't want anything to do with anymore, and we were trying to get rid of that. And therefore, it was probably a bit of a shock to people just how much he's disliked.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, I mean, generally speaking, if we don't like something, we just won't talk about it because it's not about being mean or, we laugh at drivers when they do badly. But if we really, really, really didn't like them, we probably wouldn't talk about them very much.
We don't say much about Max.
We try not to.
No, exactly. That's exactly it, because we don't like him. He brings us down. It's not very nice to talk about. Nobody wants to hear about it, so therefore we just pretend he doesn't exist. That thing he did didn't ever happen.
No.
And the same thing with Michael Schumacher in the car. It's like he never drove. He never got 7 championships.
Inside podcast land, it didn't happen.
No, absolutely. Michael Schumacher never got in a car and he never did anything to Formula One. It was just his brother.
One of the first posts on Side Podcast says, hi, we are starting this because Michael Schumacher has left.
Yes.
Because now we can talk about Formula One.
Exactly. When we couldn't have talked about Formula One. The thing is, we did talk about Formula One online prior to Sidepodcast, and mostly it involved a lot of mudslinging against people who thought the guy was a saint, trying to prove them wrong and suggest that they were completely incorrect and the facts didn't stack up. When we started Sidepodcast, it really, really, really didn't want to become a massive mudslinging competition, and we could do it because he was gone, and it was great again, and it was exciting, and it was, it was something new, and we were really happy.
It was.
And then he came back again.
It's kind of like that thing that your mum always says, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Yes.
And it's so really that's what
it's,
we do.
It's really hard to do that when the guy who you really have nothing good to say about at all makes a comeback. It kind of upsets the apple cart slightly, and it throws everything to the wall, and that's basically what the problem was. So thank you to everybody who sent timely messages. Which did mean a lot,
Yeah, I mean, there was a Facebook group that said, bring back Side Podcast, which I think Gavin set up, which was very nice. We appreciate all the support.
Yes. Thank you to Sam, who sent us a lovely email at a very, very important time.
Yep. Martin, H, everyone. Loads of people sent us emails, and we appreciate them all.
Yes. So we are back because the situation's worked out that way. You always intended to watch all the races anyway, so Side Podcast would have continued.
Well, someone has to cover it.
Yes. So there still would have been F1 Digest.
You're busy sulking, someone's got to...
Well, the thing is, I would have been productive. Yeah. That's what I would say. I wouldn't have watched the races, but I would have got other stuff done, like home pages and things that that need doing. However, you know, we will be here for Valencia. There will be live commenting, and I will be able to watch it and enjoy it. What there is to enjoy.
Housekeeping.
We have been busy, even though we did take a short hiatus. You've made yourself a playground. Very grown up.
Yes, I've always wanted my own playground.
And swings?
It doesn't have swings.
Slide.
Yet.
Roundabout.
Nothing like that at all. There's no health and safety concerns.
No.
And you don't need a parent to be around.
Does it have that stuff on the floor that's like wood chippings?
Nope.
And smells like playground?
It's nice and clean.
Okay.
There's no graffiti.
Wonderful.
It's a lovely playground to
hang. So what is it then?
It is a place where for things to happen, because I'll tell you what it is. It's a place for people with ADD. And this is what I discovered. When working on Doohickey and live commenting and stuff, people like new things, and new things get better when people see them sooner and give feedback.
Absolutely.
Sooner. So, like, more releases, more new things, more quickly, keep people interested, and they can give feedback, and then we can say, okay, I would like to see this. Okay, you've got this. I would like to see this. Well, there's
it.
You know,
it makes it better as well.
Yeah. The general, you know, to get this, what you don't want to do is, I found, is spend 6 months working on a design and then saying, oh, I've done this new design. Because, you know, then people want to tear it to pieces, and that's no fun. Much better to spend a week on a design and say, what do you think? And then it's not a huge problem if people tear it to pieces. So we need to redesign soappodcast.com.
Yep.
It's old. It's slow. It's looking out of date. It's looking long in the tooth. It doesn't feel like a new and exciting site.
It's impossible to find anything.
It's just terrible. And the idea of redesigning it is going to take about 3 or 4 months. And in the meantime, if you did
on top of the about a year that we've been planning it.
Yeah. And you don't just want to just basically build it and nothing happened and everything go quiet on the site for 3 months. So what we're going to do is build it in little blocks. And so our playground is a playground of building blocks.
So, for example, we've put up a page on the playground that has the random subtitle generator,
which has been promised for 12 months.
Months and months and months. As soon as the playground went up, there it was.
Yep. Show selector.
Took you a few minutes.
In the pipeline for 6 months.
Show selector is awesome. I don't know whether we explained this at the time or not, but basically the idea is you pick out, you check the box for the shows that you want to listen to.
Yep.
So if you don't like, say, the miniseries,
you can avoid that.
You can avoid that. Or if you only like the omnibus rather than all the individual ones, you can select that. You pick out the shows you want. It creates you a custom RSS feed, and then you only get what you want.
Yeah, you put
it's
that,
awesome.
You create a little custom feed. You put it into iTunes or whatever your podcast reader is, and you just listen to the shows that you are interested in, and they always update as normal. So if you want to, what we've never done in the past is put the Parade Lab on the feed, because it's like an hour long, and
yeah,
it's a huge amount of data for anyone to download. And it probably doesn't make an awful lot of sense after the fact, because it's live and it's interactive.
But some people might want that.
Some people might want it. And that for those people, Show Selector is where to go. You can choose any of the shows you're interested in, plus things that you couldn't get before, like this live stream, which we're live streaming as we do this on a Sunday evening. You can now download that in a feed. So it's there for people who want more from SciPodcast, who have been restricted by the defaults we give everybody in the past.
Or who want less.
Or, yeah, or anybody who's sick of the stuff we're already giving them and just want the individual bits.
Lukey has said in the comments, it's like a SciPod buffet, which
right.
is a great description.
That's a great
you
description.
You can pick and choose what you want.
Yes.
Also in the playground, we've got, we're revamping a donations page.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some options. You can actually sort of subscribe to pay an amount monthly,
yeah,
which is
you
very
can,
cool.
You can say, I want to give SciPodcast £1 a month until I choose to stop giving them £1 a month, and that will help us. We do appreciate all the donations, and regular donations we appreciate even more.
Also in the comments, sorry, Daniel's just said, my God, you two have far too much time on your hands. Look at all the shows you do. They don't all go on at the same time,
that's
though.
That's the other thing that Show Selected does, although in fairness, a couple of them haven't been updated for about a year.
There's only one side pod quiz.
Yes, there's more coming.
Yeah,
but there's yeah stuff like that. So it is a revelation, and the playground enables all these things that we keep promising but never deliver. Because when you deliver them to the homepage, they've got to be, you know, they've got to work on all browsers, or people give you grief, and they've got to be accessible, or people give you grief, and they've got to fit in with the current style, and that, you know, there's all these things that you have to go through to make sure that it can sit on the homepage and it's good enough for the homepage. And what we've done with playground is basically say, look,
this is beta.
It's not finished. It's the things we promised to do, which we're working on, and you can see us working on them, and that's the important thing. You can tell us if they're rubbish, and we can fix them individually, and then eventually, when we've done everything on a list on the playground, we'll put them all together and we'll build a homepage together, and it will be a better homepage than if we went off for 3 months and then came back with one.
The other thing to note is Rachel has said, regarding the playground, is there somewhere there to leave feedback? Now, there isn't on the actual playground, but there are a couple of pages on the wiki which are linked to from the playground, where we have places for bugs and suggestions and things like that. I don't know whether we can make a form or something or a little page on the playground.
Email is good if you prefer that, or
comments. We'll usually pick up the comments.
Just throw them in the comments and just say, look, I've just been playing on this. And this is my thoughts on what I've been using.
Rachel would like a previous button on the search. So there you go. Get on that.
Genius. Never thought about it.
There you go.
Never occurred to me.
So the other thing that's really exciting at the moment that is on the playground is the live streaming page. Now, we have just discovered, well, we've heard about it before, but we've just managed to get Quick on my G1.
Ah,
and this weekend has gone mental in terms of live streaming.
It was introduced last weekend. This is how quick things happen.
Quick.
Yeah. Last weekend, we downloaded this free application for your mobile phone, and it enabled us to go out to the woods and record stuff.
It was a bit Blair Witch.
Mm. And so we did that. We said, hey, we can now record things live. As well as doing live stuff from the studio, we can do live stuff on the road, thinking that it would be great for Silverstone to do it. Instead of doing a live a text thing, we could actually do live video, which might be the next thing, you know, trying to push stuff forward.
Yes.
That was the idea. And Silverstone's obviously, I say Silverstone, the British Grand Prix is a long way away. And that was just like an early concept of what it might be. And then things kind of exploded in the interim 7 days.
So this weekend, we actually went to see Alex at his house.
Yes.
In that London area. Mm. And you've probably seen Alex in London the comments Village. On the show, the Parade Lap host. So, yeah, we went to see him and we live streamed and he live streamed and we all live streamed together.
Mm.
And on this page on the playground, there's about 6 or 7 windows of all these different live streams.
Everybody,
all at once.
Everybody in the comments have really taken this idea to heart. And I think Amy went to Albert Park this week and she live streamed from the Grand Prix venue that isn't a Grand Prix venue at the moment. So you can have a look and see what it's like when real cars...
She walked around it, got lots of great videos.
That was brilliant. And obviously Alex is live streaming pretty much everything in his life. And he and Bassano...
He put some blinds up.
Some blinds up today with Catherine.
Yep.
It's kind of crazy stuff. Basically, it's a page of anybody who's got a mobile phone or got a webcam and doesn't mind broadcasting their innermost personal life to everybody else in the Side Podcast community. That's what it's for. And it's forward thinking and it's, you know, it's maybe where we may be going in terms of technology and future and stuff. And at some point we'll maybe build it into the main Side Podcast site. But at the moment it's in the playground and it lets us go live now.
We do try and announce it in the comments. People tend to say, I'm about to go live now. But it's always worth keeping an eye somewhere.
There's always something going on. It's completely out of our control.
The little disclaimer at the bottom of the playground page that says we are not in control of these third party things. Anything could happen. Watch at your own risk.
Yes. Enjoy at your own risk.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Have as much fun as you like, but really it's just a page for collating other people's live streams. And just as anyone else might comment, they may also live stream their life. And that's what it's all about.
The last thing we have to talk about really is SidePod Radio.
Go on.
Well, it was postponed because we were in a huff. And really, we kind of underestimated how easy it was going to be.
Right.
We thought we could get it organised in 2 weeks. Really not.
It's going to take a bit more work.
Yeah. So it was postponed and it's now going to take place on Sunday, the 20th of September. The rest of the details are still the same. 12 hours, donations accepted, etc., etc. There is plenty to read about it on the wiki and on the blog. What I wanted to do today is to go through some of the shows that require a little bit of audience participation, so that if you've got any questions or things that our hosts can interact with, you can start getting them in. Okay, the first one on my list is Travels in SidePodland. Nikki is hosting this travel show where people can leave their tips about the cool things to see where they live. We've already got great variety, such as Australia, Argentina, Scotland, and Canada, but more is always appreciated. If you've got anything to say about where you live, then we want to hear it. You can call the voicemail on 01212887225. The username on Skype is SidePodcast, or you can email me, christine@sidepodcast.com.
Another show requiring participation is All Sports with Sean. He's hosting a show about other sports that nothing to do with Formula One.
Other sports?
I know. Apparently there are some.
Wow.
He's willing to answer questions or talk about them in as much detail as you like. So what we're after is questions about other sports. Name other sports that you enjoy.
I did put a few questions on the wiki as an example.
Go on.
Such as, which is better, football or rugby? And the age-old question, is darts a sport?
Interesting stuff. So usual things apply here. Voicemail 01212887225 or SidePodcast on Skype. And you can email Christine at SidePodcast.com or leave your thoughts as ever on the wiki, wiki.sidepodcast.com.
Next up, we've got the Nostradamus effect. RG likes to predict things, and he quite often provides us with a full finishing order for the Grand Prix ahead of time. So using his special predictioning powers, that's not even a word, is it? He's going to work out what's going to happen in life in general. Once again, we're after your questions or topics you'd like to know the future on. I'm not sure we can get as specific as lottery numbers, but it doesn't have to be just about Formula One. One example from Stephen Roy, he's asked whether I will ever get to see a real life panda.
Great question.
That's a great question. So if you've got a burning question about the future that you need answering, RG is your man. Call us and leave a voicemail on 01212887225. Email me, Christine at sidepodcast.com, and I'll pass it along, or you can leave a question on the wiki.
And finally, SidePod Space, with our regular space expert, Mr. Stephen Roy. He is talking about all things astronomical. Presumably that's price of food these days,
yeah.
Price of petrol, that kind of astronomical?
I think it might be.
He's after your questions and your thoughts about space. If you're around during the day, he's doing it live, so I'm sure he will welcome a live call or two. Especially if someone has something against the money spent on space.
Yeah, I think he's up for a good debate.
I see. Okay, fair enough. Otherwise, just leave silly questions. What questions have you given?
I've come up with lots of silly questions like, do astronauts get bored in the evenings? Do they even know when evening is? How do you tell the time in space?
Okay.
These are the silly questions I come up with. That and I know like, Stephen Roy is looking forward to answering them.
That's going
to
be a great show. And that's going to be live as well. So again, the usual places apply. As we've said before.
Email, voicemail, wiki, comments, any way that you want to get in contact.
You know the stuff.
Yeah. Two other shows worth mentioning are the F1 Top 5 show, which Alianora is hosting. It's basically various lists of the top five of things, such as top five F1 debuts.
Like that.
There are quite a lot of suggestions on the wiki already, but it's worth having a look if you've got anything to add to that.
Good stuff.
And finally, Stephen Roy, again, he and Alison are hosting a phone-in show on the day itself. If you're around and you can think of a topic you might want to talk about, then please add yourself to the wiki. There's plenty of time to dream up some topics until then, though.
Good stuff.
As ever, we're after your voicemails for fillers. You must have shout-outs and things you want to say. You can say hi to your mum on SidePod Radio. I'm sure she'd love that. Or wish someone a happy birthday or anything. We have had some great voicemails from Jana, Keith the Marshall, Lukey, Scott Woodwiss, and Chris, Vampire Chris.
We've got those already.
They've all done so, and they're all brilliant.
Wonderful.
So we want more.
And just to reiterate, this is the date for this is Sunday, September the 20th.
So there's still plenty of time, but don't leave it to the last minute. Keep all the good stuff coming in and we can get organised ahead of time.
I'll tell you something, it's a lot of fun opening Skype and finding a whole bunch of voicemails.
I know,
there's
loads of them. I opened Skype recently and there were like 13.
That's excellent.
That's amazing.
That's what we want. We want more of that. Loads and loads of people calling us. Give us your suggestions and take part in all of the shows. There is literally something for everybody.
The other thing I should say is that we're also accepting shorter shows because up until now, it's all been like half an hour slots on the schedule. But we're starting to think that maybe we're not going to stick to the schedule exactly.
There's a schedule?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's going to be difficult. So if you've got something that you want to do but might not last for a whole half an hour, maybe just 10 minutes or something, then that's fine too. We've got a table on the wiki for that. For instance, Maverick has signed himself up for SidePod Anori, which is like Jack and Nori, but
sounds good.
F1 related.
Oh, I like it.
So, yeah, it doesn't have to be half an hour. Anything is welcome. So I think we're all caught up now. That was our bumper show.
And a bit, wasn't it?
That was massive. Next week, it's back into the racing as well. We're in Valencia. Not in Valencia.
You call it racing.
Yeah.
Loosely?
Yeah. I use that term loosely. Yeah.
Follow the leader around all the corners.
But even if Valencia is not as exciting as it should be, it will be a good day because it's Frank Day.
Frank's back in the car.
Yeah.
Gave him a seat.
He's racing
in Green Racing.
IRL.
Mm. In America?
Which I know nothing about.
Is it America or Canada they're racing?
They're in America, I think.
Really don't know. Absolutely clueless on this
Lovely.
One.
Lovely. We've even blogged about it and we still don't know.
Not the foggiest. If you'd know anything about IRL, and I'd say it slowly because I'm just not confident.
Not sure.
We know that it follows the Valencia race. I think in England it's going to be like 10 to midnight or something UK time. It's going to be late. It's on.
It doesn't even start till like midnight.
It's going to be a busy day on Sunday because obviously we've got Parade Lap, Valencian European Grand Prix. Then we've got the debrief and then we're going to live comment Frank Racing in America.
Yep.
Not going to be an early night at all.
You expect about 1 hour sleep.
Okay, well, we're definitely going to do that, though. We're going to learn about IRL. We're going to get into it. We're going to follow woman, and we're going to cheer them on in the live comments.
Yes. So you can join us even if you don't like IRL, because none of us are going to know, and we'll probably be talking about something else, like cheese or something.
I'll tell you something. Do they have corner names in America? And what are they named after? I can see a corner naming session coming up.
There'll
right
be
now.
Some games going on.
Yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be a long day, but it's all worth looking forward to. It's all good in Formula One again. We're all happy. And we're glad you haven't abandoned us, as we almost abandoned the sport. But we're still here, and we're going to be there for Valencia. So please join us there.